With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
We've got news out of the market about JBS. They announced it's going to close their Souderton, Pennsylvania beef plant, roughly around 2,000 head per day of capacity. Also, JBS might be closing their Tennessee plant. So this also follows some other recent plant closures and could be deemed bearish for the cattle producers because it reduces the number of outlets competing for cattle.
That's Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. Now, USDA says cattle on feed actually increased in June, but May placements came in well below the average pre-report trade estimate. National Ag Statistics Service on Thursday announcing cattle and calves on feed and feedlots. This is with the capacity of 1,000 head or more, total 11.682 million head as of the 1st of June. 2% above last year, compared with analyst average expectation for a 2.5% increase. Now, May placements totaling 1.7 million head, that was down 10% from last year. Analysts had expected placements to average 94.5% of last year, making the actual 90% figure the bigger surprise. Fed cattle marketing's 1.5 million head, down 12% from last year, slightly below the average estimate. USDA says May marketing's the second lowest for the month since the series began back in 1996. The report points to heavier feedlot inventories, tighter feeder movement, and continued attention on slaughter pace. Again, on feed numbers at 102%, placements at 90%, marketing's at 88%. USDA signaling sharper concern over phosphate fertilizer supplies as farmers look ahead to fall application needs and another year of tight input budgets. Deputy Secretary of Ag Stephen Vaden says the nitrogen fertilizer outlook is stronger over the medium and long term because U.S. natural gas supplies support domestic production. Energy, a major input in nitrogen fertilizer manufacturing. Now, phosphate, the bigger concern. Vaden says market highly concentrated and USDA monitoring production curtailments, export flows, and farmers' access to fall supply. Says the issue is not limited to a single global shipping risk or a recent disruption. It actually reflects several years of pressure that have left producers exposed when international markets tighten. USDA discussing both near-term and long-term responses with other cabinet agencies, and he says more announcements are possible soon. Rural families and older farm operators may need to look beyond Social Security as living costs continue to pressure retirement plans. AARP says benefits stretch further in lower-cost states but often still fall short of basic expenses. Social Security replaces about 40% of pre-retirement work income on average. Among Americans 65 and older, 42% of women and 37% of men receive at least half their income from the program. AARP found benefits actually go furthest in Indiana, West Virginia, Alabama, and Michigan. In 2025, in Indiana, the average monthly benefit covered over 87% of basic expenses. But the report notes that no state had average benefits fully covering basic cost for renters or homeowners with a mortgage. It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This is Agriculture Today.
The government payment portion of the bottom line here is such a big deal this year.
Dr. Brad Lubin is director of the North Central Extension Risk Management Education Center at the University of Nebraska.
We're talking in 2026 about projected government payments in Nebraska from all sources, about $3 billion. That's $3 billion of government payments in a bottom line of almost $10 billion. The change from last year, net farm income's up about $1 billion. Government payments are up about $1.3 billion. So it is more than the total change in net farm income just from the government safety net here. But dig into that safety net a little bit, and we understand both the support that's in it as well as the uncertainty that's in it. We have the underlying commodity program supports. 4 years ago, they were minimal because we had higher prices and farm program payments that didn't fundamentally pay out. In the coming year, they could be in excess of $700 million. Substantially higher than where we've been. And so a dramatic increase in the safety net. Well, that's what came about because of the 2025 budget reconciliation bill and the increases in government safety net support levels. Those first immediately affected the 2025 crop program year, but the 2025 crop program year doesn't pay out until the fall of 2026. And so we have this cash flow that shows up later this year. But that increased safety net will dramatically increase the support going forward for producers. In the meantime, we do have standing disaster assistance programs, livestock indemnity program, livestock forage program, emergency livestock assistance program. Those provide substantial supports to producers in the case of mortality losses or drought losses on grazing land. And they continue to provide support. And in an era, unfortunately, where we've had increased drought losses, we see some increased payments from there too. But then the biggest chunk of government payments have been coming from ad hoc payments. And that's really sort of a reality of the last decade when the underlying safety net was relatively small in terms of the amount of payments it was making. But the advent of increased ad hoc payments became bigger and bigger. Some of those in legislation passed by Congress, some of those in administrative actions implemented by USDA directly. In 2026, we have the Farmer Bridge Assistance Program. The Farmer Bridge Assistance Program is almost as defined a bridge between when those safety net increases were passed in the budget reconciliation bill in 2025 and fall 26 when those increased supports would actually start paying out. So the Farmer Bridge Assistance Program has provided additional help to producers as much as $650 million in Nebraska. Paid out earlier this year under the Farmer Bridge Assistance Program. So another big chunk of support. The thing is, it's ad hoc. It's a one-time program. We don't know. We certainly can't expect or project when and if it'll happen again. Similarly, we had ad hoc assistance that was passed by Congress, some ag disaster assistance passed in late 2024 to cover the 23 and 24 crop year losses and livestock losses. Some of those programs rolled out in 2025. We'll remember stage one of the supplemental disaster relief program that rolled out in 2025. But stage two of that program started in rolling out in 25, but continues here with sign up through 26. So we don't even have full payments in yet for losses that actually date back to 23 and 24. That's one of the other challenges of ad hoc payments. They're big, they're substantial, they're not necessarily timely. And so we have the challenge of a big impact this year, but some of that's to address accumulating losses over the last few years.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
And understand what these numbers mean.
Arizona Representative David Schweikert.
National effects of Social Security insolvency. It's basically the depletion of the trust fund in 6 years, what, 3 months? On recipients, a 24 to 27% benefit cuts over those years. Social Security actuary report said 22. Everyone else is saying 24. I'll give them 22. I think my 24% number is more correct. Monthly cuts exceed $500. So in 29 states, so basically they were adding up how much of the population average income they paid into Social Security. Remember, a number of people don't understand, Social Security is means adjusted. High income earners get less back of the taxes they paid in. Lower income earners actually often get much more than the FICA taxes they paid in. You're a poor senior. Are you ready for a $500 a month cut? And then let's take a look at my state, Arizona. Insolvency of Social Security, what does it mean to my recipients, my folks that receive a Social Security check in Arizona? Estimated monthly cuts of $511, and this starts in 6 years. That will affect $8.2 billion in benefits lost a year. 18.3% of the residents are affected in my state. This is an avalanche coming at us. It's really hard to fix. It's really expensive to fix. And every day we wait, we make it worse. And the ugliest part of this punchline, the Medicare trust fund is empty almost at the same time. So hospitals are going to take about a 12% cut, Medicare Part A trust fund. And yet the political class, because either they're good at math or they're terrified to tell the voters the truth. On Social Security, you functionally get, for the average couple, you get the money you put in plus a tiny, tiny spiff. It's a horrible rate of return. If 25 years ago we had done what President Bush and others had talked about, saying just a little bit of your Social Security money going into a side account, the retiring populations today would be so much more prosperous. Democrats and unions crush that, okay? It's on them. They should be the ones standing up and saying, we apologize, we're going to create a wave of poverty, but hey, we're going to just tax the hell out of people who are still working. At least they could admit what they did. But the hardest part is also showing the chart after chart after chart. It's Medicare that's actually the biggest contributor to U.S. sovereign debt. Average couple, the dollars they put in, they're going to get about $6 back. That's a pretty good rate of return. And that's because we as a body have been terrified to fix the cost of delivering health care. We know the waste and fraud. You remember the couple charts we started with? When the MedPAC report comes to us and says, hey, it's like $1.5 to $2 trillion of not fraud, because it's, well, partially it's fraud. What would that be worth if we just fixed the misalignment in Medicare Advantage, let alone all the durable medical equipment, all the things that are now happening in Medicaid, whether it be the scams we found in New York where, you know, you hire family members to be the visitor in New York City over the last 5 years. It's the number one job creator. For every 1,000 people, 65 and up in New York City, they have what was the number? It was like 141 signed up for this program. Even the Democrat governor of New York says, you know, this is pretty much a scam. Why is it so hard for us to step up and fix these things? And the first time I gave a presentation on this a couple months ago, it was fascinating. All of a sudden there's articles popping up on the internet, I think written by AI, beating the crap out of me. Turns out they have their own lobbyists for the fraud. That's how perverse this society has become. The fraudsters now have lobbyists.
Which means?
So we as a society have decided the next generation will be poorer than we are. Welcome to the morality of the modern Congress.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express water wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express water wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express water wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
I'm not worried about what the U.S. says. I'm not worried about what Iran says. I'm not worried about what the rest of the world says. We're worried about vessel traffic. That's the thing that really, when you strip away everything else in the story, are the boats moving or not? And by all accounts today, it looks like they are.
Vice President of Fertilizer was StoneX, Josh Linville.
And so we're finally seeing all this weakness on global urea values. Mm-hmm. Middle East values have started to fall. Chinese exports look like they're starting to return, which is kind of a symptom of them believing the world is improving. They don't have to keep that stuff at home. A great example of how much it's fallen, NOLA urea, New Orleans, Louisiana. So we're talking about North American marketplace. Mm-hmm. At its highest trade, $780 a ton, short ton USD, of course, you know, yeah, to your conversion. And this is different than the notes I had written to you earlier. We've actually traded down now to $350 a ton. This is the lowest price that we have seen since January 2025, not 26. This is over a year and a half since we've seen this type of level.
Yeah.
So we're finally seeing all of this weakness in the nitrogen market because the market's looking at it and saying, China's coming back. We've got the Strait of Hormuz reopening this ship traffic. Everything is getting back to normal, and it's happening at a perfect time of year. Again, we're moving into the Northern Hemisphere summer months, which is a very slow demand period. This is when we usually hit our seasonal lows. So we got all these tons coming back. We've got all these ships that were already loaded with urea coming to the world. We got all the tons in the warehouses going to start getting loaded and headed out to the world. And everybody who's a buyer is saying, I'm not interested. So the unfortunate part of it is the grain prices aren't exactly doing anything to make it look great. So it's kind of a, you know, it looks good versus historical urea pricing, but it doesn't look so good when you look at it versus grains, but that is what it is. So I think we're going to see a pullback on phosphate. And the reason I say that, until this last week and when it sounded like peace was finally getting agreed upon, ships were starting to move. World manufacturers of phosphate were not able to get sulfur is incredibly high price because so much of it comes from the strait. Mm-hmm. And hydrous prices were incredibly high because so much of it comes from the strait. Even Saudi Arabia finished phosphate goods, couldn't export at normal levels. So now you open a strait, sulfur can flow and hydrous can flow. Phosphate finished goods can flow. All of those are very, very bearish events for each one of those individual markets. That should lower the price floor for global manufacturers. And before, with the price so high, if we had cut the price of phosphate around the world, you would have cut more production. And that would have rebalanced the S&D at a higher number, and it would have been a net loss for the buyer. Well, now, with these values starting to hopefully come off, I'm hoping we'll start to see more and more bearishness in the phosphate market. Because as of right now, again, I always look at corn. But when you look at the phosphate price today versus the corn price today, nearly the worst ratio that we have ever seen. I mean, we are challenging the 2008 highs once again. And this is why we look at this ratio approach so much more than others do out there, because we understand when it really comes down to it, that farmer is much more like a manufacturer. They have to worry about not only the inputs, but the outputs. And no manufacturer out there is trying to call it the low of the input and the high of the output. They're looking for that relationship that's very low. And when you look at where the potash values are, they are well priced. Do not get me wrong. I am not sitting here saying that the potash manufacturer is getting rich and they're hosing everybody. It's actually a very solid value that when you look at it versus historical values, it makes a lot of sense. When you look at the cost to move goods around the world with logistical costs up like they are, it's a very solid value.
Yeah.
We have seen new crop corn here in the U.S. hit as high as $5 per bushel. Today, it's sub 450. So when you look at that 450 corn price, the farmer's going to have to, you know, sell their crop and that's what they're going to get back. And you look at the potash price, all of a sudden, that value is one of the worst that we have seen in recent history. Now, it doesn't get nearly as high as what we saw in 2021 and 22 when we thought we were losing Russian exports. But it's an incredibly high value, and that's why we look at that relationship. If you just looked at potash on its own, you'd say that's a really good price. And a lot of people bought into the summer fill. But when you look at it versus grain prices today, it is on the higher side. It's something I think is going to have a few people kind of pause and look at it and say, is this really what I want to do this coming season?
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
I need all of us to grow up and understand some of the realities out there.
Arizona Representative David Schweikert.
This last weekend, I had the joy, you know, I'm traveling around the state running for governor because I'm leaving this insane, excuse me, this fine place. And some of the folks will come up to you and say things like, well, if you just got rid of the waste and fraud, look, it's huge. But I'm going to show you some of the charts of what the reality is on the percentage of our spending. Joint Economic Economists, our best estimate right now is we're going to borrow $2 trillion this year. My personal number, and I'm the outlier, is we're going to borrow about 2.2. But then I'm a little more pessimistic. Remember, when we went into this year, we were going to borrow 1.7, 1.6. And there's some games we play in that for those who are keeping score. Hey, here's student loans. We're going to credit that back because we're not writing them off. Does that actually go on the books as a credit, even though there's no cash it comes with? These are the sorts of things, if you really want to understand government accounting, will drive you insane. Let's first actually do some stuff on waste and fraud. This is the full kit and caboodle, or whatever colloquialism I can come up with, estimating government fraud would cover 71 days of borrowing. Now remember, that's on the assumption that we're borrowing about $7-some billion a day. But take the high, the low. But this is everything. This is the bad actors from other parts of the world that have figured out how to steal from unemployment fraud. This is the corporations that found leakage that actually been able to designate people as sicker than they actually are, so they get the risk premiums in some of the programs. It's a stunning amount of money. But if we borrow $2.2 trillion this year, it actually covers about a quarter of our borrowing. But you start to think about that. 71 days if you actually do the mean here. It's a big deal. Doesn't solve our problems. And my frustration is this place has a habit of saying, we're against waste and fraud. Let's do a piece of legislation. Let's do another analysis of waste and fraud. Let's actually say we condemn fraudsters. Damn it. How many years have some of us worked on just simple concepts? There's these things called them. What do you call that, Mr. Speaker? Oh, yeah, computers and data. If someone is billing and you have a dozen different organizations billing the same P.O. box, maybe you know you have hospice fraud. If you have a Social Security number being used over and over and over, maybe there's a problem. Maybe if you have data that says, hey, this person is saying they made $24,000 a year last year, so they deserve these credits as our society, but we have data that shows their consumption was $88,000, maybe we should look at this. We have the systems today that the $2.8 billion of sober living home fraud that basically punished Native Americans in my state and exploited them. We could have stopped with a simple data system. Is that Republican or Democrat? It's just dragging this government into maybe this century of technology instead of doing another resolution. It's like the absurdity. Absolutely, we all vote for it. Let's do a balanced budget. Great. Tell me how. I'll tell you how to do it. You won't like it, but there's a path to do it. We actually have some math that says if you told me I can to balance the budget next year, I can do it. We have to cut almost half of all federal spending because of the economic effects. Why is it so hard for us to tell the truth about math?
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
If we took all government payments out and the underlying commodity program support, the increased levels of support that we see, the ad hoc assistance, the disaster assistance programs, out of that $3 billion of total payments in 2026, there's about $150 million or so of that for conservation programs. Everything else is sort of subject to the economics of agriculture.
Brad Lubin, Ag Economist, University of Nebraska at Lincoln.
Without that rest of the safety net, we'd be talking about an ag sector that is struggling mightily financially. So agriculture would have to adjust to a riskier environment without a federal safety net in place. The reality is some of the federal safety net, on at least in the ad hoc programs, is itself a little bit risky because it's uncertain of when and if and how much it'll be. But it's been playing an increasing role in the bottom line for ag producers across the country and certainly here in Nebraska as well. So for producers that have been trying to manage cash flow projections and management decisions for 2026, you know, on the livestock side, we've seen good cash flow in terms of marketings, and there's even arguably been some accelerated marketings of feeder cattle with a combination of record prices at the in the auction barn and limited forage supplies for the summer. So producers are making some economic choices about how timely to be with marketings. On the crop side, we've invested in crop production inputs already. There are some additional marginal decisions about maybe in-season fertilizer application or pesticide application of when and how much and at what price. But fundamentally, we've committed most of our inputs to the 2026 crop, and we're faced with how to manage that cash flow. Well, the Farmer Bridge Assistance Program helps. That is $600 million plus cash flow in Nebraska on the crop ledger that helps those producers. But we're still dealing with shrinking margins and challenging conditions for producers. You can bank on some commodity program payments, but they don't come until October. So you might plug them into your extended cash flows, but they don't necessarily help, obviously, with financial cash flow pressures at the moment. You can see more concerns on the horizon about if continued inflationary pressure on input costs drives production costs for 2027 and beyond. We have even more decisions to make. So there's an awful lot on a producer's plate to try and figure out the economical decisions about how to manage this year's crop as well as how to manage the crop enterprise for the coming years. You're looking at conditions in Nebraska that have deteriorated since. Wildfire losses on a million acres of grazing land translates into millions and millions of dollars in lost capacity out there. Not to mention the property losses and even the casualty losses that came with that. So there are millions and millions of dollars of losses that we've already accrued because of wildfire events since the time we did the analysis. You can compound the wildfire losses with ongoing drought losses, where with adequate moisture, recovery from wildfire might have been fairly quick and productive, almost like a prescribed burn in parts of the state where productivity growth is better after the fire. I wouldn't wish the fire on anyone. That's not to say it should be part of the plan. But in the absence of enough moisture, those grazing losses for 2026 because of wildfire might take 2 to 3 years to recover before we really have grazing capacity back. So we're compounding potential losses here going forward as well.
It's Agriculture Today.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express Water Wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express Water Wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express Water Wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.